Good evening and welcome to our services tonight. We have visitors among us and we are grateful for their presence and we welcome them back at any and every opportunity that you have to be with us at O'Neill. And extended that invitation, February is coming up and we have a sermon series titled People of the Bible. And so you will see here we have different characters that we're going to be preaching on for the month of February. You also see in March we have another series that has been determined already, and that is Looking to Jesus. And you see here the topics that we'll have: authority, right living, hope and mercy, forgiveness, true church, salvation, restoring the church. And to start that off, in March we will have our gospel meeting. So make plans. If you haven't marked it on the calendar, go ahead and mark your calendar for the 3rd through the 6th for our gospel meeting. As mentioned this morning, we are completing the January sermon series tonight on working for the Lord, and with our sermon, Converting the Lost. We started our series this month with resolving to make Jesus King of our lives. And when we indeed do that, we are compelled out of love of our Father to show compassion to others, to help those who are poor. We're led to do more of His work and on a personal level. Part of that work we are involved in is visiting the sick, checking on those who are sick, checking on those who are confined to their homes or confined somewhere, letting them know that we love them. By making Jesus King of our lives, we also are determined to know His Word by studying His Word, by studying the Bible, by knowing His plans. This morning we talked about when our brothers and sisters err, when they have erred from the truth, we are truly grieved for them. We make opportunities to encourage them to come back to Him. You know, we are concerned about our brothers and sisters. And we are also, in being concerned about them and being concerned about others as well, that we know that this world, there are a lot of people who are lost. And so being a child of God, that we want to share and let others know about God's grace, about His mercy, about how we as sinners, how can a sinner who is lost, how can that sinner be saved? We spread the good news. We share Jesus with others. We plant seeds, we water seeds, so that sacrifice of Jesus, our Lamb of God, so that His death will not be in vain. You see, we put on Jesus, and this compels us, when we put on Jesus, it compels us to go out and convert others, to convert those who are lost. We see here, from John, when we look here in John chapter 12, that we are converting the lost. We're converting them to Jesus. Our focus is on Jesus, focusing on converting the lost to Jesus. When chapter 12 here, we see that starting in verse 21, or we had in verse 20 that we have this for some context purposes, that Jesus, He's made His way to Jerusalem to observe the Passover, and this is the final week. The final week of Christ, of His earthly life, and at the end of the week, He's going to be crucified. He's going to be buried, and then 3 days later, He is going to arise. But here we have in chapter 12, starting in verse 21, there's going to come these people that are coming to Philip. These Greeks are coming to Philip, and Philip is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and they're desiring Philip, and their desire is saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." So they're coming to Philip, and they are wanting to see Jesus. So Philip, he goes and he tells Andrew, and then Andrew, he goes, and Andrew and Philip, they go and they tell Jesus. Now, what you don't notice here is that they don't say, "Well, hold on a minute, you're Greek. You don't need to go see Jesus. Jesus is not for you." They go and they tell Jesus. In verse 23, we have here that it says, "Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come. The hour is come. The Son of Man, that he should be glorified.'" You see, here we have Jesus. In John, there's a lot of talk a lot of times. The hour is not yet come. The hour is not yet come. The hour is not yet. But what does He say here? He says that the hour is come. John, he alludes to the hour. Here it is. It's come. Why has it come? It's come so that the Son of Man should be what? The Son of Man should be glorified. So we continue here and read along with me in chapter 12 here, starting in verse 24, as Jesus is going to be talking to them. Let's listen here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honoreth. He goes on here in verse 27, and he says, now is my soul troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came their voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by, they heard it, and they think, oh, well, it's thundering. Others said, no, it's an angel speaking to us. But listen to what Jesus said. This voice came not because of me. This voice that said, I'm going to glorify the name, didn't come because of me. It came because of your sakes. He says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, what's going to happen? He says, I'm going to draw all men unto me. Here Jesus is talking to them. And here we're going to get a few points from these few passages that we've read about the lost. Number one is that they're the lost. There's a need of the lost. The lost have a need. And what is that need? What is the need of someone who is lost? Here you find two different kinds of people. Two different kinds of lost people. In verses 21 and 22, you see that there are those who are seeking Jesus. They don't have Him, but they're seeking Him. But then when you go to verse 37, if you skip on down to verse 37, and I have here for you, but though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him. So you have someone who seeks Jesus, but they don't have Him yet, and so they're still lost. You have someone who don't believe. They've seen the miracles, but they don't believe. That individual is lost as well. That individual has rejected Jesus. Here he continues here, and he says, and he's quoting from Isaiah the prophet, and it says, the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Elias said again, he had blinded their eyes, he had hardened their hearts, and they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart. What are they doing? They've had Jesus before them. Their heart is hardened. It's so hardened they're blinded, they can't see the truth. And because they can't see the truth, because they can't understand with the heart, they're not what? They're not converted. They will not become converted. These people, they can't turn to Jesus because their hearts are hardened. They're blinded from seeing the truth. So here we have also, when we think about that point, the lost, what do they need? They need Jesus. But also from this passage, this leads also to the second point, that the victory is in the cross. They have a need. They have a need to see Jesus. But they need to realize that the victory that they have, as Jesus said in verse 31 and 32, was in the cross. The victory is in the cross. When you look at 31 and 32, what did he say? He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, what's going to happen? All men are going to be drawn unto me, he says. You see here in verse 31, what did it say? Now is judgment. Now the prince of the world is cast out. Satan is going to be defeated. Satan thought at this point that his victory, he thought the victory, he had won the victory when Jesus is lifted up. He thought that was the victory, that Jesus had been killed. But it was through the cross. It was through the cross that the victory was won. Remember Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Talking about the enmity was set between thy seed, Satan, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. How that the seed of the serpent that he was going to bruise the head, but the seed of the woman is going to bruise his heel. foretelling of Jesus, how Jesus was going to be victorious. You see, now this judgment of the world has come. Now the prince of the world is cast out. Now is the time to believe. Now is the time to quit denying the evidence. There may be people in this audience, and I know there are people in this audience who have not yet been converted. They are not yet obeyed the gospel. Now is no better time. See, the cross is the means of salvation. And Satan, what did it say? He's going to be cast out. He's going to be dethroned. But look at the Son of Man. Look at Jesus. He's going to be lifted up. He's going to be set on His throne. He is going to be crowned King of Kings. He's going to be crowned Lord of Lords. And if we have that honest heart, when we hear these words, when we hear these words of Jesus, and we're telling these words to other people, if they have an honest heart, one that's not hardened, but one that's open and will listen, they're going to be drawn unto Him. They're going to walk in the light. And that light is going to motivate them. Remember from Romans chapter 2, how the goodness of God, what does it do? It motivates us. It motivates us to repentance. And the message, it's a message that's very clear. It's a choice that's very clear to ourselves. But it's the honest heart that's going to open up. It's the honest heart that's going to respond to that. So let's pull this together. So from these passages, you have that they lost. There's a need of the lost. And that need of the lost needs to know that the victory is in the cross. But in knowing that, you have to ask yourself, if you're someone who is lost and you know that the victory is in the cross, then you have to ask yourself, have you counted the cost? What's the cost to follow after Jesus? What's the cost of being converted to Him? What's it going to cost you? What did it cost you? What did it cost me? When we look back to three of the verses we read just a moment ago, in verse 24 he said, except corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. So if you have that piece of corn and it's just sitting here, is it doing any good? If you put that corn back in the ground and that piece of corn, if it dies, it loses its shape, what's going to happen to it? It's going to bring forth fruit. That it's going to die. It's going to bring forth fruit. He that loves his life, he says, is going to lose it. He that hates his life in this world is going to keep it until life eternal. You see, we can say that these words here, death. What's it going to cost you? It's going to cost you death. What's it going to cost you? It's going to cost you a loss. What's it going to cost you to follow after Jesus? It's going to cost you, you're going to have to follow after Him. Death of what? Surrendering my life to following God. Giving up this life, a life that serves sin, to one that's going to serve God. It's going to do what He wants. It's not. And when I look in the mirror, I'm not going to see a sinful world. When I look in the mirror, when I've counted the cost and I've been converted, I'm going to see a reflection of Jesus Christ. You see, because when I'm converted, I turn myself toward Christ. Because when you're converted to something, you're focused on it. You're focused on it. Now, if we're focusing on God, if I'm turning this way, am I focused on Him? Am I focused on you right now? No, how can we have a conversation? We can't because we're not focusing on each other. The same is when we are not facing, when we're facing away from Christ, we're not following after Him. We're not turning ourselves back into the world when we're converted. We're not going back to that old life. We're not looking at that old life. We're not turning to a preacher. When you're converted, you're not turning to Matt. You're not turning to Guy or Stewart or Al or Britt or Matt. You're not turning to any of those people. You're not turning to a book. You're not being converted to a book. You're not being converted to a creed. You're not being converted to a church. You're not being converted to O'Neill Church of Christ. When we're converted, we are converted to Christ. We're turning to His words. We're turning to His commandments. We're submitting ourselves to Him. We're being a part of His church. We respect Him and His laws, and we follow after Him. We were following. We submit to our elders. We submit to those that are taking part in the church. We respect the ones that are spreading the news. You see, because his message is that we're converted to Christ. Not to a church. Not to a person. We're converted to him. It's his church. It's his body. So when I sin, I've got to die to that life. I lose. When I go into this watery grave, I lose that old man. And I'm deciding to follow after Christ. I'm raised up to be a new man. I'm converted. I'm no longer going to follow after those paths of the paths of sin, the paths of the world. We follow our Lord and Savior. We follow him to the cross because that's where the blood was shed for us. His blood. Those of you who aren't Christians, are you listening? He didn't die on the cross just for us, just to warm these benches. He died for a reason. He died for us to be saved. He died for us to not know sin, but to know him, to know his will. Why did he come? In our class, the kids can tell you why he came from Luke 19, verse 10. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What was it that he did? He died. He died for every one of us. That death on the cross, he died so that we would live. We would live not to Matt, not Guy living for Guy, not Jerry living for Jerry, but he died so that we would live to him, to the one that died for us, the one who rose for us. Why did he do it? Why did he die for us? Why did he come? This can be quoted by a number of people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? God loved us so much that he sent his only Son, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's through Jesus that we're saved. It's through him that we are converted. In Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, what did Christ do? He died for the ungodly. Who did? Christ did. Romans 5, verse 8, he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what did he do? He died for us. He was delivered over to death for who? For our sins, for my sins, for your sins. He was raised to life for what? He was going to be lifted up for what? For who? For us. For our justification. Galatians 1 verse 4, who gave himself for who? For our sins. Those of you who are lost, you are in sin. If you're not converted, if you're not a Christian, you are lost. You are in sin. He died for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Ephesians 5 verse 2, and when we are converted, we will walk in love because Christ loved us. He has given himself for an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Christ died. He became our offering. He became that sacrifice to God. He is that sweet-smelling Savior, that's the Savior that's lifted up to God. Because nothing Matt can do, it will ever be good enough. It's because when we're talking about being converted, and we're converting the lost, we're not converting the lost to any person. We're converting the lost to Jesus, who gave himself, in Titus 2 verse 14, he gave himself that he might redeem us from what? He's redeeming us from our iniquities. He doesn't want ourselves lost. He wants us purified. He wants us without spot. He wants us to be that peculiar people, that people that is zealous of doing good works. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self he bare our sins in his body. Our sins were bore in his body. We're on the tree. We should be dead to those sins. We should live unto righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. When we are converting the lost, we need to make sure that they know that we're converting, that Jesus died for them. He died for us. He died for our sins. He made the ultimate sacrifice. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also he once suffered for sins. The just, suffered for the unjust. Jesus suffered, insert your name, insert any the world's name, that he might bring us where? That suffering on the cross, that's one thing, and we're talking about converting the lost. He wants us to bring us to his Father, to our Father. He wants to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. But we're made live how? We're made live by the Spirit. And so when we are converted to Jesus, he is our Lord and our Savior. And so when he is our Lord and Savior, we are compelled to serve him faithfully. We're compelled to do his will. And part of his will in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, what did he say do? He said there in verse 19, he said, you go. What? When you're converting the lost, who does this apply to? Does it leave anybody in this audience out? He says, you go and you teach all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. What are we supposed to do? Each of us are to go. We can't convert the lost to Jesus if we don't get up and get busy. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What are we to do? We're to go. Stuart mentioned Philip and the eunuch this morning in Acts chapter 8. What did he tell him to do? You go, and there you will find. And when you're there, what did he do? He preached unto him who? Matt Taylor? Hey, you need to know about Matt Taylor. No. He preached unto him Jesus. He preached to him the gospel. What is the gospel? It is that good news that the kids say. What is that good news? We see in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also have also received. What is the good news? Christ died. What's good about that? What's good about him dying? What's good about him being buried? What's good is he rose. What's good is Satan was defeated. The king of this world is cast down, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was lifted up. That is the good news we share. And in that lifting up, he also lifts us up when we are his. So tonight the question is, are you his? Or do you belong to him? Is he your Lord and Savior? Is he your Savior? Are you a Christian? If not, my friends, the question is why not? Because he paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. That sacrifice, you don't have to carry the burdens of sin. He's done it for you. If you're not a Christian, why don't you become one tonight? Be converted to him. That's who we want to be converted to Jesus. Hear it, believe it, repent, confess, be baptized. And if like this morning, if you've erred from the truth, come back to it tonight. Come as we stand and as we sing.